ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Awabakal, Darug, and Eora people. One of humanity's oldest idioms is...
an eye for an eye.
It appears in several ancient legal systems around the world.
With an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth.
It's even present in science with Newton's third law of motion, and I'll just throw to Dr. Carl for that.
For every action, there is an opposite but equal reaction.
In science, that looks like the balls of a Newton's cradle clicking back and forth. Quite beautiful. But when it comes to international relations, it tends to look more like this.
His army chief was also there to vow revenge.
The people want revenge.
Across the country, tens of thousands of Shiites are demanding revenge.
Revenge. And we're currently waiting to see if Israel and Iran want more of it. Right now, the two countries are in a revenge cycle. For decades, they've engaged in a shadow war, trading cyber attacks, air attacks, land attacks, you name it. But the attacks tend to be through third parties. Things got real on April Fool's Day when an Israeli airstrike destroyed a building attached to an Iranian embassy.
Smoke hangs over Damascus after an Israeli missile strike on Saturday.
16 people were killed, including two Iranian generals.
Rubble is all that's left after a suspected Israeli attack.
This was a huge escalation. Israel and Iran have never directly attacked each other before.
Iran's president vowed revenge on state TV.
The malicious regime has made a wrong move in this case. It should be punished, and it will be punished.
And 2 weeks later, the skies of the Middle East lit up with Iran's revenge.
Iran launches an unprecedented series of air attacks, sending residents scrambling for cover.
Explosive drones and missiles flew towards Israel from the north, east, and south.
You can hear the sirens right now. We just ran into the bomb shelter.
And yet, nobody was killed. Israel had advance warning of the attack, and hours to get people to safety and to shoot down the drones and missiles. In fact, that was probably Iran's plan all along. Maximise spectacle, minimise casualties. Israel and Iran have been in a cold war for decades, and now, with it heating up, every decision, every response, every retaliation is a calculated move. Decisions made to satisfy an angry population and to deter more attacks without escalating to all-out war. It's a game of chess. And how Israel responds could change the trajectory of the conflict in the Middle East. Today, the calculus of revenge. I'm Matt Bevan, and this is If You're Listening. So how do two countries do the complicated maths that determines how they respond to an attack? It's a dance that America and its allies, and Iran and its proxies, have been performing for years. Last time the revenge cycle started to turn, Donald Trump was in the White House, and the wheel only stopped because of a tragic mistake. When Donald Trump first took office in 2016, he had a lot of information to get across. The names of warring factional groups, the economies of far-flung countries. One name that wasn't on his radar was Qasem Soleimani.
Are you familiar with General Soleimani?
Yes. Tell me.
This is Trump in an interview with radio host Hugh Hewitt in 2015, pretending to know who Soleimani is.
He runs the Quds forces.
Yes, okay, right.
Do you expect his behavior...
I think the Kurds, by the way, have been horribly mistreated by us.
The Kurds, the Quds forces, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Quds forces, the bad guys.
Right.
Look, he gave it a shot. Donald Trump may not have heard of Soleimani before he got into office, but they were about to become very well acquainted. Soleimani was a national hero in Iran, and many said he was the second most powerful figure in the country after the supreme leader. But it's kind of difficult to explain what Soleimani's role was in the Iranian government. His official title was Commander of the Quds Force. I've heard him referred to as the equivalent of the head of the CIA.
Soleimani
was the architect of the Iranian activities in all over the Arab world and the Middle East.
But even if you haven't heard of him or the Quds Force, you've heard of their work. The Quds Force is the organisation that funnels resources and training from the Iranian government to the foreign militant groups that they support, Hamas, the Houthis and Hezbollah. And they lead covert operations to attack the US, Israel and their allies.
Qasem Soleimani planned to launch these killer drones from Syria and attack Israel, just like he has attacked airports and oil fields in Saudi Arabia, Yemen and additional places all over the Middle East.
Qasem Soleimani's big claim to fame during his time as head of the Quds Force was his successful effort to prop up the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. He was an important figure, and he did not like Donald Trump. Trump had been talking tough on Iran, and Soleimani had been daring Trump to walk the talk and invade his country. He said Trump was nothing more than a casino manager. He said, when you go to sleep at night, know that we are near you in places you can't imagine. We are a nation of martyrs. Come, we are ready for you. Donald Trump really didn't like all of this. And he didn't like that he was getting reports that groups backed by Soleimani were killing American soldiers. So Trump started thinking about killing him. At times like this, there's a lot of things to consider. One thing is the law. Every country on earth has signed a document called the United Nations Charter, which says you can't attack another country without approval from the UN Security Council. But you can defend your country from attack. This document was written in 1945, and it was meant to stop World War III.
You have won a victory against war itself.
Now, there have been some very creative interpretations of what self-defense means since then.
At this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
But Trump was aware that he couldn't brazenly attack Iran without some sort of justification. But that justification would soon come. In December 2019, a single American was killed in a missile attack launched by Hezbollah.
This particular group attacked an Iraqi facility which was housing American personnel last week. It resulted in the death of an American civil contractor and injured several other people.
Trump immediately ordered an airstrike against Hezbollah's bases. Hezbollah, undeterred, then stirred up a protest at the US embassy in Iraq. Trump was at his Florida club, Mar-a-Lago. His top military and security officials arrived, and the defense secretary had a PowerPoint presentation ready with more options for Trump.
In our discussion today with the president, we discussed with him other options that are available. And I would note also that we will take additional actions as necessary to ensure that we act in our own self-defense.
The officials had organized a range of options, from minor to severe. The most extreme and the most risky option was to kill Qasem Soleimani with a drone strike. In off-the-record interviews after the meeting, the officials said that this option was only there to make the other one seem more reasonable. It was like the $300 Japanese Kobe beef steak that's only on the menu to make the chili prawn linguine seem cheaper. But Donald Trump quite famously likes expensive steak.
When it comes to great steaks, I've just raised the steaks.
He likes them well done with ketchup.
Where are the steaks? Do we have steaks? We have Trump steaks.
On the 3rd of January 2020, a Reaper drone controlled by a pilot just outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, took off from a US base in Qatar. It flew over 1,000 kilometres and then started circling Baghdad Airport, waiting for Soleimani to arrive, which he eventually did 2 hours late. He got in a car, heading to an appointment with the Iraqi Prime Minister. US Special Forces soldiers were following him, waiting for the perfect time. They called for the drone to fire its missile.
The burning wreckage in the distance is all that's left of two vehicles at Baghdad's international airport.
Soleimani was killed instantly along with 9 other people.
He was a monster, and he's no longer a monster. He's dead.
Is this self-defense a proportional response? A flying death robot waiting for the right moment to blow up a guy in his car?
A statement released by the US Department of Defense claiming responsibility called the strike a decisive defensive action.
The question on everyone's mind was how Iran would respond. Public opinion in Iran appeared to be demanding revenge. Crowds of more than a million gathered at Soleimani's funeral to weep for him, including the supreme leader and the president.
He's receiving a send-off normally reserved for heads of state.
Iranian media reported that the Supreme National Security Council was considering 13 revenge scenarios in response to the killing of Soleimani. They put their military on high alert and began their attack.
Iran's attack on the US military came in the middle of the night.
Missiles launched from Iran hit two military bases in Iraq.
15 ballistic missiles were fired, four of them failed in flight.
But nobody was killed. The US had seen it coming. More attacks may have been on the way, but we'll never really know for sure because just 2 hours after the airstrikes, an Iranian soldier made a terrible mistake. The soldier was sitting in a mobile surface-to-air missile launcher near the Iranian capital Tehran and had been put on high alert. His job was to shoot down any cruise missiles that the US might fire at Tehran. But he made a horrifying error. He mistook a passenger plane for a missile and shot it out of the sky.
Iranian crews clean up the wreckage on the outskirts of Tehran.
176 people on board a Ukrainian passenger jet taking off from Tehran airport were killed. This was obviously not part of the plan, not one of the 13 revenge scenarios. This was a tragic, spectacular screw-up. Both sides decided that enough was enough.
This is a huge backdown for Iran and deeply humiliating for a nation that had promised to exact harshest revenge on America and has ended up killing 176 innocent people, including children.
Iran said their revenge plan was complete, and Donald Trump accepted that the shooting down of the plane was an accident.
It was flying in a pretty rough neighborhood, and somebody could have made a mistake.
Everyone decided that the ledger was even and called it a day. This is a pretty common story. Country A attacks country B responds in kind, and on until both sides decide that enough is enough. People get assassinated, planes get shot down, mistakes are made, innocent people die. And now this is being replayed between Israel and Iran, except no one knows if they've had enough yet. So just to recap, the current conflict started because Iranian-backed Hamas militants attacked Israel in October last year. Israel has, in response, been attacking Iranian targets in Syria, including at an embassy. 2 weeks later, after giving loud warnings, Iran began its revenge attack on Israel.
Israel says more than 300 drones and missiles were fired, most intercepted by its aerial defense systems.
Israeli, US, British and Jordanian fighter jets streaked across the region, shooting down the drones and missiles. For everyday Israelis, it was a terrifying fireworks show, but it didn't cause widespread harm. The only injuries reported were from shrapnel falling from the sky after the interceptions. Iran said that as far as they were concerned, this settles the matter.
Iranians have taken to the streets of Tehran, waving flags and chanting, "Death to Israel, death to America."
Israel is now vowing more revenge, an eye for an eye for an eye. But as another old adage says, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. It's a delicate revenge dance, and the world is anxiously waiting on the next step. If You're Listening is written by me, Matt Bevan. Supervising producer is Yasmin Parry. Next week, we're sticking with the Middle East conflict and looking at the criminal trial of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's done some extraordinary things to try and hang on to his job. He's facing three separate criminal investigations which are making their way through the courts. He's accused of accepting bribes, fraud, and breach of trust. It's a wild story, actually, and it sounds like it belongs in the past. It's an old-fashioned battle between two newspaper tycoons, both trying to gain the Prime Minister's favour. What will Netanyahu do to try and stay out of jail? That's next on If You're Listening.